There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Book of the Week, what you should be reading.
Okay, do you remember Chocolat? Published in 1999 and written by Joanne Harris, it's the timeless story of single mother Vianne Rocher opening a chocolate shop in a rural French village. Sounds a lovely idea, right?
Beautiful.
Well, not to the church priest, who does not take kindly to the subversive nature of her chocolaterie on the local community. And if you haven't read the book, it's likely you've seen the Oscar-nominated film starring Juliette Binoche and Johnny Depp. It's been 20 years since Chocolat and 7 years since Peaches for Monsieur le Curé, which is the third book in the Chocolat series. And as of 2 days ago, we now have a fourth to add to our bookshelves. It's called The Strawberry Thief. And with us in the studio to review it for us, we have Karen Osman, whose psychological thriller The Good Mother won the Montegrappa Writing Prize in 2016. And since then, she's written a second book, The Home. And I believe, are you working on or completed a third?
I've just completed a third, and that will be published in September this year.
Do we have a title?
The Perfect Lie.
Ooh, I love that.
That's my favorite title so far.
Yes, mine too.
I already want to add it to my Amazon list. Can we pre-order? How soon can we pre-order?
Well, you can probably start pre-ordering, I think, from the summer.
Fabulous.
So we're just in final stages of editing, but yes, you will be able to pre-order.
Ooh, terrific.
I want to talk about The Strawberry Thief, but I also want to know what the lie is and why it's perfect. Are you able to give us a brief synopsis?
I've just finished the edits, and it's about a woman called Claire. She is a solicitor. She's actually a criminal barrister. And basically,
you nearly said Bannister.
Bannister, yes.
Criminals cling to her on their way up the stairs.
Yeah. And the story is about her and her family. It's domestic noir, which is what the genre that all of my books are. And, you know, there's a lot of things that sort of go wrong within the family, within her career, which eventually sees someone in jail for some pretty heinous crimes, actually. So it's a bit twisty, a bit turny. And I think everyone who loves psychological thrillers will enjoy the story.
Well, the book that we're about to talk about now is not twisty and turny as such.
No.
But it is engrossing. Would you mind introducing us to The Strawberry Thief? I mean, I know I've already established that it's the fourth in the Chocolat universe. It's been 7 years since the last one. First of all, can you pick this up, do you think, without having read any of the others?
I think you definitely can, and I absolutely did pick it up without having read the second and the third. So I read Chocolat and, of course, saw the film. So it's really nice to sort of go back to the characters, Vianne Roche and her daughter, Anouk, who is now living in Paris, and her second daughter, Rosette, who they describe as a special child within the story. So there's quite strong themes of motherhood within that story as well. Vianne Roche is now finally welcomed into the community of, my French accent is not the best, but the village is called Lons-Canet-Souton. And so she's finally welcomed into this this community, which is great for Vianne and her daughters. But of course, when the florist across the square dies and leaves a parcel of land to her daughter, then things start to go wrong. And of course, there's also another character introduced, which is a tattooist, and she brings a whole different story to the novel as well. So there's lots going on. It's not fast-paced. It's a gentle-paced story, for
it
sure.
It is. And it keeps sharing different points of view. We go from the inside of the priest, who was the kind of bad guy of Chocolat and who is now much less of a bad guy. We get Vianne's perspective. We get the special daughter, Rosette. Yep. We get her perspective. And we also get the perspective of the dead florist from a long letter that he leaves behind. Mm. And it is interesting to watch how these stories intertwine, but it is also the kind of story that you need to just relax and lie back and have your cup of chocolate with it, because it's not, I wouldn't call it a gripping page-turning thriller, but it's a pleasant place to spend time.
Mm. It's definitely a story to be savored. I think it's definitely something that you want to take your time with. And I think, you know, many people in Dubai, because of the lives that we live here, are very stressed, very busy. So I think, you know, if you're in that place, that's the perfect book for you, because it sort of forces you to slow down. Joanne Harris's books focus a lot on the senses, especially taste and smell. And I think the author herself has, I can't remember the exact
synesthesia,
which is where you see colours, or you see colours as smells. And that's, you know, the inspiration that goes into her book. So I think it really forces anyone to sort of sit back and just, you know, enjoy the ordinariness of life, which I think is what so many of us fail to do, don't we, in a busy city?
Absolutely. Joanne Harris, speaking in an interview, she talks about the synesthesia. There are different, all sorts of different kinds. The form that she has gives her the power to smell colour. Mm. So she's speaking to the interviewer and she says, Barbie pink has the scent of gas, like at the dentist. There's a particular shade of sky blue and white, which is coconut. And if I see yellow and purple paired together, it smells fishy, unpleasantly fishy. Right now, there are enough red things in this room to trigger my red response. What's that? Chocolate.
Mm. I just find that whole thing fascinating. And she says that she writes in a shed at the bottom of her garden. So I can sort of imagine her writing these books, you know, and seeing all these different colours as smells and things. I think it's such an interesting, you know, writing process that she has.
And the book is very, very sensual in the sense that there are so many sensory experiences in it. I think one of the things she's done really nicely in the parts that are narrated by Rosette, Rosette does not communicate well with the outside world. She speaks a kind of sign language and she can verbalize, but she's not super coherent when she verbalizes. And this idea that Rosette interacts with the world through the drawings she makes of people, which shows how she feels about them, I think that's this beautiful element that I could really picture in my head, Rosette hiding under the table in the floor of the chocolate shop, making her drawings.
Yeah, I agree. I think Harris has such a skill in creating such distinct characters. I mean, you really, considered they're all written in first person, you really understand immediately which character you're reading from each different perspective. And you become very close to the characters, you know. So I think that was a really enjoyable part for me.
What I want to say is, so we get all sorts of different perspectives. We get Vianne's perspective, we get her daughter Rosette, we get the priest Renaud.
Yeah.
Am I missing somebody?
Well, you sort of get Renaud and other characters actually at different times reading this confession that the deceased florist, whose name is Narcisse, has left. So it's almost like a fourth sort of storyline going on there. And that's a really interesting way to sort of do that. So yeah, the whole time the reader is thinking, what is the confession, you know, that he's leaving? What's about to happen? Why has he left this parcel of land to Rosette?
A 2013 study showed the smell of chocolate makes customers more likely to spend money. But on what? What do you think, Karen?
Well, chocolate, maybe.
No, books is actually the answer.
No.
So the scent of chocolate in a bookstore made customers 40% more likely to buy romance novels and cookbooks, and 22% more likely to buy books in any genre. The study was from 2013 and published in the Journal of Environmental Psychology.
Wow.
So there you go.
There you go.
And our chat about The Strawberry Thief shall continue. Karen Osman, if you're just tuning in now to Dubai Eye 103.8, this is Talking of Books. And Karen Osman is an author herself of The Good Mother and The Home. She has one called The Perfect Lie coming out in
September.
And we are talking about The Strawberry Thief by Joanne Harris. Now, we're talking about the pace of the book off air briefly. We were saying that it's a book that you can dip in and out of. And Alison, you had a bit of a backhanded compliment, which I actually think is a compliment.
It's a book that's easy to put down. I found when I was reading it, because it switches points of view with every chapter and the chapters don't tend to end on cliffhangers or, oh my goodness, you have to find out what's next, it was very easy to enjoy a chapter and then set the book aside and then return to it a little later and enjoy a chapter. And honestly, I found some chapters more enjoyable than others. There's a very long deathbed letter that is progressively shared, but the person who's sharing the letter is frustrated by the letter, and I think some of that frustration spills over to the reader, who also starts wondering, well, why don't you get to the point?
Yeah, I think for me, the fact that the chapters were short was quite nice as well. So I think that sort of helps with the pick up, put down sort of thing. I think if you're a reader who loves your thrillers and loves your crime, then you may struggle a little bit to get into the book, which is what I did because I'm so used to my books being so fast paced. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said before, I think if that is your world, it's quite nice to have a breather. So, you know, this book is perfect for that.
It's a very restful book.
It is. I found, yes, it was put downable, but I still definitely wanted to return to it. It wasn't like I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning having to find out what happens next. But like you say, it's not that kind of a book. But I definitely was looking forward to returning to the village of Lansquenet-sur-Tarn and getting back into the characters. But it's interesting that we find, I mean, I'm coming to this not having read any of the other books because I watched Chocolat as a film before I even realized that it was a book first, and I was coming to this and there are certain things that you need to clarify before you pick up The Strawberry Thief because there are differences between the film and the novel Chocolat.
I would highly recommend going to Wikipedia, reading the summary of Chocolat, the novel, not the film, before you start The Strawberry Thief. I think it'll help orient you a little bit better.
Yeah.
The book does stand alone, but I think it's easier to get into if you know what has happened prior.
And yeah. To be fair, I mean, the series has been, I mean, it's been 20 years since Chocolat, so she's kind of given us all a fair crack at having reading all of the others. So I think it's fair that she's made it more enjoyable for people who are following the series.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed, I want to talk about like particular excerpts and moments that we enjoyed from the book. There was the interaction between Anouk, who's her first daughter, and Vianne, obviously who owns the chocolate shop, is really interesting. Because when we first meet them in Chocolat, Anouk is very keen to settle down, and Vianne is completely the opposite. She knows that, you know, when the wind blows again, she's going to move on. That's the plan. And when we meet her in this book, she's staying. And Anouk is the one who has gone off. She's, I think, living with her boyfriend in Paris. And there's a moment where she gets a text message where Anouk says that she wants to come home for Easter with her boyfriend, Jean-Loup. And she says, she's coming here for Easter, she says. She sent me a message this morning. Thought we'd come over for Easter. Maybe stay for a few days. Would that be okay? Not sure what time I can get off work. I'll tell you when I know. Love, A. XXX. Of course it's okay. Does she have to ask? And yet I feel uneasy that we, she means herself and Jean-Loup, makes her visit more formal than if she were dropping by on her own. And she says come over, not come home. One word makes a world of difference. A few days? How long does she mean? A long weekend? A week? No more? Anouk's visits are always brief because of her job, because of Jean-Loup, and I know that Paris is good for her, that she has a world to explore, but we were always so close, she and I. It never occurred to me that she might want to explore without me. And one thing, that's something that the book does very well, and Joanne does very well, is she writes about these mother-daughter relationships. And it's particularly interesting, I think, when you come to the book thinking of Vianne as this tempestuous character who always wants change, and she's completely changed, I think, in this book.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for me it was slightly disappointing because I loved Vianne in Chocolat because she had that sort of wanderlust and that desire to travel and travel with her children. So yeah, that takes a little bit of getting used to, but fully understandable. I mean, as a mother, you know, you always want your children close, but, and I think it's a battle that she struggles with herself, you know, the desire to let her children roam and be free, but also the fact that she does want them close to her.
And I think it's really interesting that when she talks about her daughter Rosette being a quote unquote special child, and knows that Rosette will never fully grow up and mature and leave her. And she really values that her child, who has some you know, intellectual challenges, will never go away.
There's also a basic kind of mystery that needs to be solved as a reader when you're reading the book. We say that it's a slow burn, but there is still a burn. So Narcisse, the florist, when he dies, he leaves a will, and he leaves a forest to Rosette, the special child of Vianne's. And
his own son and daughter are very unhappy about this.
Furious. And he also leaves, we've talked about, a confession to the priest that only he is allowed to read. And that just infuriates the family even more. They've been left the farmhouse, they've been left everything else but this forest. And it's also listed in the will, and any contents therein are also left to Rosette, this child who runs around chirping like a bird. She clearly enjoys the forest, but to the family, it's just...
Why did you leave it away from us? Why exactly. did you leave it to it's some strange kid that we don't even know?
Betrayal, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
And so you read this confession and you're constantly wondering, okay, why did he leave it to her? So that's another side of it as well.
Yeah.
I think in the hands of another writer, it possibly wouldn't have been as compelling for me as it was.
Mm, I think she has a really good skill of taking something like sort of magical with the superstition and the sort of magic in there, but making it quite realistic, which is very difficult to do, I think. It's very, very believable to my mind. So, yeah.
There's a lot of things that aren't explained in the book as well. In the same way that all of the Chocolat books have a kind of magic in them, an everyday magic that's never really specified. But just
yeah, it's like a accepted. Magical realism element. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. it's European magical realism rather than South American magical realism. But it's, you know, there's an invisible friend that goes through the book, and some people can see the invisible friend and some people can't. And you don't know, does that mean they can genuinely, literally see this person or thing? Or does it mean that they're agreeing to participate in that world? And so there's a lot of small mysteries like that that I think are interesting to puzzle out along the way.
Mm. And the imaginary friends are animals, aren't they? Which mm. I think is an interesting way that she's interpreted maybe like familiars.
Mm-hmm.
Joanne has actually spoken about kind of magical stories such as, it says Chocolat series in Game of Thrones. I think Game of Thrones is very, very different to what she's doing fantasy-wise in Chocolat. But she says, the way we live now makes us susceptible to various kinds of fantasies. There are so many complicated events over which we have limited control. We don't feel as if we make much of a difference. We move about, but the places we visit are so similar. We are not as connected as we once were. We are under pressure socially, financially, at work. The idea of opening a door into another world with domestic everyday magic, with dragons and spells, is compelling. We are desperate to believe in the power to change. Books are a safe place to do that, with a hot chocolate and possibly a cat in your armchair.
Lovely.
Beautiful.
Which I think Lovely. Is totally the vibe of the book.
That Very is definitely so. The vibe of this book. Curl up with your cat and your chocolate and gently meander through a beautiful and semi-magical world.
We would recommend you familiarize yourself with
the original Chocolat.
With the original Chocolat, the novel, before you get started with this. It does stand alone, as we mentioned, but it helps to kind of orient yourself a little bit with some of the cast, the characters.
Like, it's real good to know that Johnny Depp's character is a redhead in this book. And in fact, he is so much a redhead that his name is Rue. That's what everybody calls him.
Yep.
And that can be deeply confusing if you still have Johnny Depp in your head. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I found that confusing too. I spent half of the book going, okay, what happened to his character? Did they break up? What happened? Yeah, I had many yeah. questions. So yeah, do your research and some more reading before you tackle The Strawberry Thief, but it's definitely worth the investment, I would say.
Absolutely, definitely. I think the writing alone is just so whimsical, so enchanting. You can't fail to be mesmerized by it. So yeah, enjoy it.
Who would you recommend it to?
I think I would definitely recommend it if you're feeling, you know, stressed, you have a lot on and you just need a bit of a break. I think it's a welcome break into a different world that, you know, you actually feel quite beneficial after you've read it, you know, like a spa treatment of books sort of thing.
Oh, I love that. And the actual structure of the book lends itself to someone who is stressed or has a lot on their plate, because it is small bites. It is like chocolates. It is small, delicious bites, and you can have one and then wander away a little and then come back.
Book spa. Thank you so much, Karen, for joining us on the
Thank
show
you.
To review The Strawberry Thief by Joanne Harris.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.